If you don't like what your elected leaders are doing, you have recourse in the next election. You can kick them out of office. But that's hardly a reality in 2014 when it comes to the North Carolina General Assembly. More than half of the 170 House and Senate seats will be decided in the May primary because they have no opposition in the general election. So we are pretty much assured there being no significant changes in the Republicans' veto-proof majority. Catawba College political scientist Michael Bitzer writes about this in his latest post for WFAE's political blog, The Party Line, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
The leadership in the General Assembly has certainly had a big effect with laws concerning voting rights, school vouchers, gun rights, abortion, basically a lot of controversial stuff that spurred a lot of protests. So why hardly any opposition?
Well, it's certainly not for the energy and the activism on the Democratic side. What Republicans were basically able to do, in my opinion, was buy themselves a pretty healthy insurance policy when it comes to elections, and that was through the redrawing of the district lines. Now, we know that this is a partisan issue. Democrats did it when they were in control and had the opportunity to redistrict the state, particularly when it came to the legislative districts. But Republicans really used the maps to their advantage. And so few of these districts now are what we would label competitive, that there is an opportunity for the opposition really to have the chance to capture them. Even if Democrats did capture all of the competitive seats, the Republicans would still retain not a veto majority proof, but certainly a majority in both chambers.
Okay, so did Republicans do such a good job with this redistricting that many Democratic candidates just realized it would be too tough to run?
In some, yes. I mean, there are the Democratic candidates in some safe seats that are going to put up what I would label as token opposition. But when you have a district that votes, you know, anywhere over 60% for not just the legislative candidate, but for the presidential candidate in 2012, for example, those two votes generally tend to correlate very nicely to one another. So the prediction of how much a Republican presidential candidate gets in a district is very close to what a legislative Republican candidate will get in that district. And that's just voting patterns, and that's ultimately the voters' decisions. That's how people who self-identify as one partisan over the other, they're going to vote 90%, if not more, for their party's candidate.
Okay, so we've heard a lot of news about protests, but is what the Republicans are doing just playing well in their district? Are some of these things that we hear are being protested just not as controversial as the media makes it out to be?
No, I think the protest and the activism by the Democratic side through things like the Moral Monday protest and particularly the issues concerning teachers and tenure and pay, I think that is certainly activated the Democratic base, and that will be critical for statewide races. For example, for Kay Hagan's race, she has got to get her base out, and certainly that will provide it. But once you get deeper down the ballot into these legislative races, the likelihood is Republicans are basically controlling the rural areas. They put Democrats solidly in control of urban areas, but there's just not enough strength out there. And the suburbs are kind of where the competitiveness is, but they're stacked to the advantage of the Republicans.
Has the organizational problems in the state Democratic Party in terms of leadership and low finances played a role in its inability to recruit candidates?
It certainly has not helped the Democrats. With all the infighting, with the questions of leadership, particularly of the state chair, with the decisions of some campaigns to basically bypass the state organization, I think it adds into the problems that Democrats are facing, let alone with everything else that they've got, redistricting, with the fact that they're having, you know, low fundraising capabilities right now. I think it all blends into the fact that they are the party out of power, and it's hard to get captured back into that ability to regain power at this point.
Catawba College political scientist Michael Bitzer, author of WFAE's political blog, The Party Line. Michael, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.